Today we begin week number 30 of our 4.5 year journey through all of God's inspired word, verse by verse. And today we turn our attention back to Numbers chapter 1. We're going to start at verse number 45 as we're considering the first census of the Israeli people, the counting of the adult men who are going to receive family farms, serve in the militia, and basically be the leaders of their families as Israel moves forward in their history. So we already had the tribe-by-tribe count earlier in the chapter, and now we have the summary of that. Verse 45, "So all those listed of the people of Israel by their fathers' houses from 20 years old and upward," so that gives us the sense of what majority age in Israel was considered at that time, "every man able to go to war in Israel," so that's the militia tie-in, so these are the guys that would serve in the militia of the conquest and in defense of Israel from here on out. "All those listed were 603,550. Now, for some people, and you can see this in the commentary discussions, that number is problematic, partly because it's a round number, and that frustrates some people, which I don't quite get the frustration on that, because we typically refer to things in round numbers when we know that there's a more precise number available nearby. So this doesn't surprise me at all that this might be a very round number. But the other thing is, some people think this is way too many people to be out in the desert together. How are they going to be supplied? And my immediate response was by miraculous support from God. He's the one that's providing the manna. He's the one that's providing the water. He's even the one that's providing this great big overarching canopy above them to keep them from being too hot during the day or too cold at night. So how many people are out there in the desert is of no consequence when God is in the equation. But also, some people think this is too many for the number that we started with 430 years earlier, 70 named adult men. And we already kind of ran the numbers on that, that if you apply a fairly large population incline, you can get to a number like this in that time period, 430 years. And we know for a fact that the Israelis were very productive. That was the complaint that the Egyptians had. They were scared of just how productive the Israelis were. So I really don't have a problem with these numbers, and I think we should just take them at face value and move forward. Now, the next thing that we have in the text here is the notation that the Levites were not counted in this first census. Verse 47, "But the Levites were not listed among those by their ancestral tribe. For he who is spoke to Moses, saying, only the tribe of Levi you shall not list, and you shall not take a census of them among the people of Israel." And that's because they're not going to have their own tribal region in the promised land. They're going to be scattered throughout all the various regions of the promised land, and they will be providing, we would say, religious support and leadership to the rest of the tribes. Verse 50, "But appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, over all its furnishings, and over all that belongs to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and all its furnishings, and they shall take care of it and shall camp around the tabernacle. When the tabernacle is set up, the Levites shall take it down. The Levites shall take it down, and when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death." And we're going to get to the details of this in a little bit, that Only the Levites are supposed to be taking care of the takedown and setup and transportation of the holy objects related to the tabernacle. Verse 52, the people of Israel shall pitch their tents by their companies, each man in his own camp and each man by his own standard. But the Levites shall camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so that there will be no wrath on the congregation of the people of Israel, and the Levites shall keep guard over the tabernacle of the testimony. Again, we're going to get to the details of this in a moment, that once the tabernacle was finished in its production, and it was set up for the very first time on the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus, the Israelis were then required to rearrange their encampments in their tribal groups to come to the standard we're about to read. So they just can't go wherever they want to. Now they have to be in an orderly fashion around the tabernacle. And they will even be given orders as to how they march from place to place, the logistics involved in breaking up the encampment to move to a new site. And that was originally going to be for probably just a few years, that is, the time going into the Promised Land and a few years after during the conquest period, and then they would have all been in their own home regions and in their own permanent houses. But we know already that because of sins over the next few weeks and months, the Israelis will spend a total of 40 years on the march. And most of that is going to be carried out in compliance with what we're about to read regarding tribal arrangement. Verse 54, thus did the people of Israel. They did according to all that he who is commanded Moses. And he who is spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, the people of Israel shall camp each by his own standard with the banners of their fathers' houses. Now, I really do wish that we had some sort of confident understanding of what the symbols were on these flags, on these ensigns that were in front of each of the tribes. But I don't think we have that available to us. But they would have known at that time that their own flag represented the region around the tabernacle where their group was going to camp. And then there probably would have been borders marked on each side to show where the next camp site was set up. Now, the rest of verse 2 says, they shall camp facing the tent of meeting on every side. So each of these camps are going to be facing inward toward the tabernacle. They'll be facing where the presence of the Lord is represented by the tower of cloud. Now, that's perhaps a little bit different than what you would expect in a military encampment, where the campsite might be arranged in such a way that all the tents were facing outward as a protective measure. In this case, though, God is the one that will protect the boundaries around the camp, and so everybody needs to keep their eyes on the Lord, and I think that's very symbolic for us. Verse 3, those to camp on the east side toward the sunrise shall be the standard of the camp of Judah by their companies, the chief of the people of Judah being Nahshon, the son of Amminadab, his company as listed being 74,600. Now, I have put this into a chart form, into a kind of a design grid on page, I think it's page 19, it's chart number 7, in my Chronological Companion to the Bible, which you can find on the website, intotheword2020.com. And it is an interesting layout where the royal tribe, the Judah tribe, the tribe of the heir, is going to be right in front of the front door of the tabernacle. The only group between the tribe of Judah and the front gate of the tabernacle itself will be the priests. That's it. Just the priest family. And so this is symbolic that Judah is the senior tribe. It's in the most prominent position of the group. Now, on the four sides of the tabernacle, the 12 tribes are divided up into groups of three. And the first tribe mentioned in the groups of three is always the senior tribe of those three. And the way that Israelis think is they think from right to left. So the right hand is the prominent hand. You read text from right to left. So when we know that the tribe of Judah is facing toward the tabernacle, we can be relatively certain that the next two tribes are going to be first on the right and the left hand of the tribe of Judah. And then that will be the case right around the clock, as we in the Western world would say, as to where the 12 tribes are specifically located. So verse number 5, those to camp next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar, the chief of the people of Issachar being Nethanel, the son of Zuar, his company as listed being 54,400. So that would be to the right of the Judah tribe. So on the northeast side of the tabernacle, eastern side. Then the tribe of Zebulun, the chief of the people of Zebulun being Eliab, the son of Helon. His company is listed being 57,400. So that's on the southeast corner of the front side of the tabernacle. And then we have the group mentioned. It says, all those listed of the camp of Judah by their companies were 186,400. They shall set out first in the march. And this is where we now find out about the breakdown and, by extension, the setup procedures on the days that the Israelis move the encampment. The Judah tribe, when it sees that the presence of the Lord has raised up off of the tabernacle and moved away from it and, you know, started getting on the path, the Judah tribe breaks their camp. And they're the ones that march out first, followed by the Issachar tribe, then followed by the Zebulun tribe. And so they will be the vanguard. They will be the point guard tribes as they move from place to place. Then we follow this pattern, as I said, around the clock or to the left. Because remember, Israelis read from right to left. And so things are presented in that fashion. So verse number 10, on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben by their company. And the chief of that group is Elizur, and the number is 46,500. And then those to camp next to him, that would be on his right-hand side, is going to be the tribe of Simeon, with Shelumiel being the leader, and the number being 59,300. And then on the left side of the Reuben tribe is going to be the tribe of Gad, and the chief of that group is Elsaphath, and the number is 45,650. And so the total, verse 16, of those listed in this group are 151,450. They shall set out second. So we've now got six tribes on the route to the next encampment. Now, we're not moving just yet. This is just setting the details as to how it's going to work. Now, the next thing that happens is the breakdown of the tabernacle itself. I suspect that the priests and the Levites have already gotten a hold of the Ark of the Covenant and the holy objects that have carrying rods, and they're probably between the triple Judah tribes and the triple Reuben tribes. That's, I think, what they do. But we might come up with something elsewhere. But the breaking down of the tabernacle itself is going to happen in such a way that the materials will be in the middle of the march. That is, you've got 12 tribes, so you've got six marching at the front, then all the equipment for the tabernacle in the middle, and then the six at the back. And this is what we read, verse 17. Then the tent of meeting shall set out with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camps. As they camp, so shall they set out, each in position, standard by standard. So all the tabernacle stuff right smack in the middle of the march. Verse 18. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim with their companies, the chief being Elishama. And the group is a total of 40,500. Next to him, which would be on his right-hand side, so we're talking about the southwest side of the western side of the tabernacle, is going to be the tribe of Manasseh, with Gamaliel being the chief, 32,200. Then on the left side of Ephraim, or the northwest corner of the western side of the tabernacle, is Benjamin. The chief being Abidan, and a total of 35,400. Then we have the total for that whole side. All those listed of the camp of Ephraim by their companies were 108,100. They shall be third on the march. Then on the north side, same standard, the standard of the camp of Dan. The leader is Ahiazar, and there's 62,700 of them. The camp next to him would be Ashur, the leader being Pagiel, 41,500 total. Then the tribe of Naphtali, the chief of the tribe being Ahira, and 53,400. And so verse 31, all those listed of the camp of Dan, that's the triple tribe camp on the north side, were 157,600. They shall set out last, standard by standard. So they're bringing up the rear. They're the rear guard, protecting the flank of the tribes. Verse 32, these are the people of Israel as listed by their fathers' houses. All those listed in the camp by their companies were 603,550. But the Levites were not listed among the people of Israel, as he who has commanded Moses. Thus did the people of Israel, according to all that he who has commanded Moses, so they camped by their standards. And so they set out, each one in his clan, according to his father's house. So now we understand the arrangement around the tabernacle of the 12 tribes and the order of march with the equipment that make up the sanctuary, that is the tabernacle complex, being smack dab in the middle of this order of march. Chapter 3, we've already read some of this, but I'm going to read it again very quickly. These are the generations of Aaron and Moses at the time when he who is spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab the firstborn and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests, whom he ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died before he who is when they offered unauthorized fire before he who is in the wilderness of Sinai. So they died because possibly, this is what we suggested at the time, they got themselves drunk and they offered inappropriate sacrifice. And this was a treasonous event. This brought about a capital punishment from God himself. And so they had no children to speak of, apparently. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of Aaron, their father. So they're the ones that now take on the responsibility. He who is spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near. Let them set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister to him. They shall keep guard over him and over the whole congregation before the tent of meeting as they minister to at the tabernacle. They shall guard over all the furnishings of the tent of meeting and keep guard over the people of Israel as they minister at the tabernacle. So the Levite tribe is going to be the service tribe, the religious service tribe. Verse 9, you shall give Aaron the Levites and his sons, and they shall wholly given to him from among the people of Israel. And you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall guard their priesthood. If any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. We'll actually come back to that topic later when some Levites actually think they should be priests, not just simply support. They should be in the spiritual leadership roles. And only Aaron's family is going to be allowed in that role. Verse 11, and he who is spoke to Moses, saying, behold, I've taken the Levites from among the people of Israel instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the people of Israel. The Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for my own all the firstborn of Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am he who is. So we have this substitutionary thing that we've talked about before. When God saved the firstborn Israelis during the departure from Egypt, those firstborn should have served him for the rest of their lives. But instead, God allowed them to have a substitute in their place, and the tribe of Levi is going to be the source of all those substitutes. That's God's choice. He who is spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, list the sons of Levi by father's households, by clans, every male from a month old and upward you shall list. So now we get to the counting of the Levite tribe. And because they are going to be substitutes for the firstborn adult men that could be serving, we're going to actually count all the firstborns in the Levitical tribe at this time, including the young set, the ones that are brand new. So Moses listed them according to the word of he who is, as he was commanded. These are the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. So we've got three subgroups of the Levitical tribe. These are the names of the sons of Gershon by their clans, Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath by their clans, Amram, Izhar, and Hebron and Uziel. The sons of Merari by their clans, Mahli and Mushi. These are the clans of the Levites by their father's houses. To Gershon belong the clan of the Libnites and the clan of the Shimites. These are the clans of the Gershonites. Their listing, according to the number of the males from a month old and upward, was 7,500. The clans of the Gershonites were to camp beside the tabernacle on the west. So now we know exactly where they're supposed to be set up. With Elasaph, the son of Lael, as the chief of the father's house of the Gershonites. So this sounds similar to what we've already seen. The Gershonite group is on the west side, and they are, here's their responsibility, verse 25. The guard duty of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle, the tent with its covering, the screen for the entrance of the tent of meeting, the hangings of the court, the screen of the doors of the court that is around the tabernacle and the altar and its cords, and all the service connected to these. So when it comes time to break down the tabernacle, this group takes care of that. And when it comes time to set it up, this group takes care of that. Then we come to verse 27. To Kohath belong the clan of the Amorites. That's the tribe group that Moses and Aaron belong to. So this is the group most closely related to them. And also the clan of the Izharites and the clan of the Hebronites and the clan of the Uzielites. These are the clans of the Kohathites. According to the number of the males from month old and upward, 8,600. And what are they charged with? Well, first, they're on the south side of the tabernacle, verse 29. Their leader is Elsaphan, and their guard duty, verse 31, involves the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary with which the priests minister, and the screen, and all the service connected to these. So that will be their responsibility during the moves. And then verse 32, Eleazar The son of Aaron the priest was to be chief over the chiefs of the Levites and to have oversight of those who kept guard over the sanctuary. So he is kind of the one that ramrods everything revolving the tabernacle. To Merari belong the clan of the Mahlites and the clan of the Mushites. These are the clans of Merari. They are 6,200, and the leader is Zuriel. They camp out on the north side of the tabernacle. And what are they responsible for? Verse 36. The frames, the bars, the pillars, the bases, all their accessories, all the service connected with these, also the pillars around the court with their bases and pegs and cords. So they've got all the hardware for the complex barrier wall. And they've also got control of the three-sided rigid framework of the sanctuary building that all of the software, the soft materials, the hangings are going to be put over by a different group. So this is everything that we need in order to move the tabernacle from place to place. Verse 38, those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tent of meeting toward the sunrise, were Moses and Aaron and his sons, according to the sanctuary itself, to protect the people of Israel, and any outsider who came near was to be put to death. So the priests are on the entrance side, and they have the ultimate responsibility to keeping non-holy people away. Then we come to the full number. All those listed among the Levites whom Moses and Aaron listed at the command of he who is by clans, all the males from a month old and upward were 22,000. And he who is said to Moses, list all the firstborn males of the people of Israel from a month old and upward, taking the number of their names. So what we're going to do now is compare the actual firstborn on the census list of Israel to the firstborn among the Levites and see whether or not we've got a match, since they're supposed to be substitutes. And we'll find a slight number discrepancy, and God will give the instructions as to how that slight discrepancy in numbers is to be resolved. But we'll save that for tomorrow when we get back into the Word.